Hi guys, welcome to Game of X3 News from me, your host Jack Fuller. This is just the weekly podcast where we talk about all the latest news and headlines. So I'm joined by Ollie and Chris today.
Hey.
Cool. Welcome back, Ollie. You haven't been or done a podcast with you for ages.
No, it's been like 6 months or something.
6 months, yeah, it's been
nuts. That's a long time.
So first thing on the agenda is Borderlands 2.
Yep.
Me and Chris completed it. You're about level 20?
Yeah, I think I'm about 25 now.
25. Yeah.
Finished the first run through.
What were your thoughts? What do you think of it? Without spoiling too much.
Yeah, no, obviously.
I think it's fantastic.
You think it's really good?
You know, I haven't really been hooked by a game for a while.
Yeah.
And it's a hooker, you know?
I think the thing that
it's a hooker. Nice.
I think the thing that's really good about it is Handsome Jack himself, actually.
Like, yeah.
I've not met a villain quite that compelling.
Well, I haven't got fully into that, but from what you guys have said,
He's the most compelling villain I can think of. I mean,
I've played... Yeah, he is the most compelling villain in a game for ages.
Yeah.
I think, apart from the Joker, who's a comic book character, I can't think of another... I can't think of another villain.
Well, he gets you kind of personally, doesn't he? And yeah.
Yeah, he's excellent. I gave it 9.6 in my review. Do you think it's worth 9.6?
I give it a flat 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10.
I'd probably give it 9.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Why the 9 out of 10?
Well, it's not perfect. I mean,
it
can always be improved. I think we found some of the flying enemies quite annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is quite annoying, actually.
They could have had a few more varied like textures. And despite the fact there was a lot of changing in the guns, there were a few times, especially early on, where you just got like three skins of the same
it's
gun.
It's just over and over. There's just too many guns, you know?
Yeah. We were promised,
like there's a thing, but...
We were promised lots of guns with like different fire modes and stuff. And fair enough, you do get them, but they're really rare. Like,
yeah.
Usually it's just bots.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I do feel that in the game, levels and gun levels like run completely differently. So like you can be really high level, but sometimes you just can't come across that gun. Like you had a bit of a problem finding a really good assault rifle, didn't you?
Yeah, for a while. Then I found one that was amazing and lasted me for like 10 levels.
So yeah, it's kind of hit and miss with weapons at the moment in Borderlands 2. It's getting some DLC.
I've heard there's a leak.
Yeah, the Necromancer came out a week early. So... A pirate DLC is coming out next week on the 16th.
Cool.
It is officially called Captain Scarlet and Her Pirate's Booty in a good old Borderlands 2 fashion. New region named Oasis.
Oh, really?
New vehicle.
Cool.
New guns. New currency, which is a Seraph crystal, I think,
okay, yeah.
If I remember off the top of my head.
Seraph, right?
Seraph, yeah. And new achievements.
For what I can see, I mean, pirates would fit the Borderlands world really quite
excellent.
Yeah. It's already basically...
The
like,
bandits
it's like,
are
it's
basically
like,
pirates.
It's Mad Max.
You are
already.
A treasure hunter, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it just makes sense. Yeah, there's no word on how much it is going to be, but Chris, you've got the season pass, don't you?
Yeah.
So you'll be reviewing that for us.
Will do.
Going on to reviews, Ollie, you got your review copy of Dishonored today.
Yeah, I did. First impressions, it's really fun.
Is it really good?
From a visual point of view... It looks beautiful. I mean, it's not the most beautiful game, but it's in the same sort of vein as Bioshock.
Yeah.
It's got, like, quite dark, gritty sort of
They put a lot of detail into the small things.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Like posters and things.
Yeah, posters
and graffiti.
And pouches and stuff.
Is it one of those games that you really appreciate when you look into it rather than looking at it from afar?
I think it works on both angles, really. Like, the sort of stunning vistas that you can get as you look out from the city that you're in. Is quite beautiful as well as in the city itself is beautiful.
Okay. What don't you like as of yet?
What don't I like as of yet?
You said the corner looking was awkward.
Yeah, but that's only a minor thing, really. It's
like
it's nothing that's going to ruin the game.
Does it play a lot like Bioshock? Because you mentioned it.
It crosses. It's got like parallels with Bioshock and Heroes of Might and Magic: Dark Messiah.
Okay, I never played that.
You've not played Dark Messiah? Oh,
no.
Okay. Yeah,
well,
I could see that.
It's
like kind of like Skyrim's combat, but more in-depth.
Yeah,
in
it's like it's got that sort of first-person perspective, and you can see the hands and stuff, and but it's got the feel of like Dark Messiah. And,
how's the difficulty?
It's hard.
Is it hard?
I've only just completed the first sort of mission.
Okay. You
know, apart from the escaping one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard. I've died a lot.
I was really impressed by the amount of options.
Yeah,
That's the first time in a console that usually what you get is, like, brightness and maybe difficulty.
Yeah.
This one, you can, like, change the image of your cursor and your crosshair and hide the HUD.
It's pretty much the same as computer, right?
Yeah.
I remember playing it a Eurogamer, and I said it was hard in the LARD podcast.
The last podcast.
And, yeah, I thought it was really hard, but it's harder if you try and not to kill people, pretty much. I think going through blitzing through enemies is quite easy.
It's easy, but it says in like the Chaos Meter thing that if you do that, it gets harder.
Oh, okay.
You know, it ramps up the difficulty.
More rats, more weepers.
Yeah, like you know, more enemies and stuff like that. So it's sort of a double-edged sword, really.
But also, the game will go much quicker for you, and
you'll miss
out on things.
Yeah.
When you're sneaking around, you do, like, those things.
It's definitely one of those games you kind of got to sit back from and kind of plan.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what I
definitely.
Learned from Eurogamer.
Definitely. You can't sort of just charge in and then think, oh, yeah, I'll just go through here. Because there's so many options that you can take.
Yeah.
You've got to just sit back and look. Where to go first.
Well, I saw that bit where you like climbed up on some steam pipes rather than like try and sneak past the guard around the side. Well, that was quite cool.
Yeah.
Really organic and well placed. The level design is excellent.
It is actually, yeah. You can combine like certain routes and it creates really dynamic play.
It's organic, but none of it looks random. It's like the game developers have decided, well, people could do this or this or this, and it will always be engaging and interesting.
Yeah.
Not like exploiting a gap in a fence or something.
Mm-hmm.
Usually something more intelligent.
It does look good. So moving on to latest headlines, we've already talked about Borderlands 2 DLC. There's also going to be free DLC for Resident Evil 6 coming out, so a new difficulty mode. None of us have played Resident Evil 6 got it. Why not?
I mean, I liked all the old Resident Evil games, playing them on GameCube and stuff. They were fantastic. But I feel like in recent sort of iterations of it, it's sort of lost that survival horror sort of feel.
Oh, okay.
It's gone more third-person shooter.
Yeah, it has.
I think that's what the reviews are saying.
Resident Evil 4 balanced it perfectly. Just enough third-person shooter and just enough survival horror, with the inventory management and stuff still.
Yeah.
But yeah, Resi 5 lost that.
It did.
And I think...
And even though Resi 5 was still fun, it wasn't, like, as engaging as the other ones.
Yeah, true. I think when it comes down to it, there's so many good games out around now.
Yeah.
No one really wants to spend money on something they might not like when there's other things coming out. Which
true,
they will,
true.
Definitely.
There's a lot of games coming out. We got XCOM out this Friday. It's already out in the US.
I'm psyched for that.
Same with Dishonored, Pokemon Black and White 2. And then just round the corner, we got Assassin's Creed 3 coming up.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Zombies is looking promising in that game.
Metal Gear Rising,
which I didn't get to play at Eurogame. That's the one thing I wish I got to play.
Revengeance.
it's a ridiculous
that
game.
So fucking good.
And Halo 4.
Yeah.
It's going to be a packed Christmas stocking, I think.
It is.
I'm going to be so poor.
Yeah. Yes. It's also going to require quite a lot of catching up on games because we're busy with uni work and stuff, so we don't have like a huge amount of time. I mean, we play games quite a lot, but when it comes to coursework,
it's true.
And they all
it's going to make our grades drop. I can feel it.
Halo 4 is out on the same day as one of our coursework deadlines.
I know,
which fucking sucks.
We're going to have to make sure Jack gets it all in on time.
I know. So another headline is Microsoft are possibly looking to scrap Microsoft points.
Yeah, about bloody time.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're making
you pay extra
and then buy bollocks in the avatar marketplace.
So are we all happy about that?
Oh, it's a clever it's a clever business model. I can respect it.
I can respect it as well.
But I don't like it.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
You can never buy even if they just did it for DLC and made DLC money, right? But yeah, no, I'm happy to do that. But no one's going to buy anything.
It's one thing that I like about the PS3 store, actually.
Yeah.
It's just money.
To be fair, no one's going to buy any new avatar items or themes now, so people who were designing them are going to be let down.
a bit of sad news for you.
Okay.
This hurt me personally, because he's a hero of mine, Cliff Bleszinski.
Yeah.
Left Epic.
I thought you were going to say died.
No, he hasn't died. He might as well have.
You're dead to me.
Pretty much is. Is
there any ideas on where he's going?
No, he's taken a year out. It'd be interesting to see what he turns up doing.
He's just going on holiday.
Probably.
We might come with new indie title.
Midlife Crisis,
I reckon. Do a Peter Molyneux.
Maybe.
Midlife Crisis.
So do you think the new Gears of War is going to suffer without him? Because he is the face of Gears of War.
The face,
but
Steve Jobs was the face of Apple. It doesn't mean that they design everything and do every little part. It's a team effort.
Yeah,
and it's just like the poster child disappeared.
But they've also lost their production manager, Rod Ferguson. He's gone to.
I wouldn't feel that that would affect the game too much because he's not like an active part of creation.
Yeah, but this is interesting. Rod Ferguson's actually gone to develop, what is it, Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, good.
He's working on Bioshock Infinite to get
that
out.
I would rather he did that,
than work on a Gears of War title. That is out soon, well, in March. It's not really soon, is it?
And let's face it, it's probably not going to be out in March.
Yeah, I'm thinking June.
You're thinking June?
Mm. I'm thinking Christmas release.
Lots of
Well, actually, that's probably more likely.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, more money, isn't it?
Okay. We saw a trailer earlier in the week for Far
Cry 3.
For Far Cry 3. And it looked
that was really good. Boss.
I never really liked Far Cry that much.
Have you seen this trailer?
I haven't seen anything on
it's
it.
It's got boobs in it, Ollie.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
They managed to slip a sex scene into a YouTube trailer.
It was interesting. Yeah, it was interesting.
And which in a first-person shooter is a strange thing.
Yeah.
The new face of porn, Far Cry 3.
There's a lot to talk about Tomb Raider at the moment, because Rihanna Pratchett...
Yeah, speaking of porn.
...did a interview. She's the writer for, what is it, Tomb Raider. And she's trying to make...
She's quite a good writer.
Yeah, she was the one who wrote Mirror's Edge.
Oh, okay.
And she also did...
To be fair, Mirror's Edge's story was probably the most cliched part of it.
Yeah, but... Not that it's the best game ever, but she did do Overlord 1 too.
Yeah, that was it, Overlord.
I enjoyed those games.
Did you?
Yeah, I
more. Problems with both those games, I enjoyed the mechanics more than I enjoyed the backstory.
Okay.
I thought, you know, the backstory is fairly strong. It's
nothing revolutionary.
It wasn't revolutionary.
I give them both a competent 6 or 7 out of 10.
What is revolutionary, do you say?
The Dishonored's pretty good.
But story-wise?
Yeah, it's a bit of a...
I don't know, it's a social commentary as well.
Okay. Yeah, and I do like that way a lot.
Going back to Tomb Raider, Rihanna Pratchett, she's pretty much going for the whole Tomb Raider, Lara Croft isn't a sex object anymore. She's a 21-year-old. It was in an interview. She's a 21-year-old. Shouldn't be seen as a sex object. I mean... In a video game catered for men, there's still going to be.
Apparently, the first one, in the first Tomb Raider, her boobs were really big by accident. Yeah, it was emergence. it was a coding error that went wrong and they kept it in.
So, I'm really looking forward to this new Tomb Raider. Any of you excited for it?
I am as well. I'm interested to see.
Yeah, I'm like.
Not only Rihanna Pratchett return.
Yeah.
But, I'm interested to see what they've done new with the game.
I'm curious, but not necessarily excited. I like my old Tomb Raider formula.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to see how they've brought puzzles back, because in the latest Tomb Raiders, that's been really poor. Like,
Tomb Raider Revelations, my god, that has some puzzles that just stumped me for hours. Mm. Like, rotating rooms and things.
Yeah.
Oh,
I remember that level.
Yeah. That was hard.
Yeah. So, I remember mentioning a lot of DLC this week, and especially on the site, like every other news article I've posted is DLC related. And even more DLC news is that Assassin's Creed 3 is going to have a season pass.
I don't know. Assassin's Creed DLC, as of yet, has been pretty balls.
Yeah.
Usually just one extra memory sequence, one extra mission.
Okay.
I don't think it would warrant a season pass.
You don't think so?
This might surprise you. Never know.
Yeah, well, they might ramp it up. I'd be impressed. But as of yet, from what I've seen, it's like the disappearance of Da Vinci, which takes 20 minutes to finish and doesn't get you anything.
Mm-hmm. The thing about Assassin's Creed DLC is that sometimes it's just like map packs, and I don't play the multiplayer enough to warrant buying a map pack.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's good multiplayer mode though. Revelations.
Yeah, it did some new stuff.
Revelations
really
was even better. That was
really?
Yeah, the best iteration.
I just never could get
into
the whole multiplayer aspect of Assassin's Creed.
Just gotta pretend to be an NPC.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I had some mates who loved it.
There's a new game coming out which is based solely on that. The beast has just been announced.
What is it?
I've told you guys about
it.
Spy Party. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
So XCOM and Pokemon Black and White 2 are out. Two games, Chris,
Pokemon.
That I know you are getting.
Yep.
XCOM, why are you getting XCOM?
XCOM, oh my god, I love tactical shooters. They're not, it's not even a shooter. It's like it's a tactic. It's basically a turn-based tactical game.
Yeah.
Set on a like it. How would I describe it? Most of the time when they do turn-based tactical games, they keep it on a grid. And I've only ever played one other game where you've got movement bars, and that was Valkyria Chronicles, and that's amazing.
Okay.
That's a fantastic game, and I love tactics in general, like working out flanking maneuvers and planning up soldiers. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be right up my street.
Okay. It looks really boring to me.
I'm interested in it. I'm not excited, but because I felt they would get repetitive, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see how it is.
I think one of the reasons I'm excited is because it was a pleasant surprise. Because in the development cycle, it looked like it was going to turn out to be crap. But as of yet, reviews have been.
I think I will love the upgrade side of it.
The same as Dishonored at the moment.
Yeah.
Like the whole background to that. Where you have to train up your soldiers.
You're finding alien technology and assimilating
that. That looks really good.
And hiring soldiers from all over the world.
But it looks like you can fail in missions and it just screws up your entire playthrough. Doesn't that annoy you? That would really annoy me.
Yeah, but that's all part of a tactical game.
Yeah, though, but really. I've had loads of games. That's a good one. Final Fantasy Tactics, War of the Lions, for example.
Okay.
If one of your guys dies in that, they're dead for good. And you might have spent ages training them up and making them as effective as possible. So you try and make a way. You try and make the perfect military strategy. You want to finish an entire mission with no important characters dying. And if you do sacrifice one, it's for the good of the entire mission.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be interested. I might watch you play it and see what it looks like.
I'll give you a review on that, definitely.
Okay, excellent, thank you. Pokemon Black and White 2, first ever proper sequel that Pokemon games getting.
I wouldn't say it was a day one release. I'd say it was a day one buy for me.
Aren't you getting it on?
I probably won't ever get it.
No.
As much as I love Pokemon and all that, one, I haven't got a 3DS, so.
It's standard DS.
Well, one, I haven't got a DS. But, two, it's just. I never really wanted to see them make a sequel, you know?
No.
The story, once again, is not really the thing that sells it for me in Pokemon.
It's the fact that you can catch an Eevee.
To be honest, the selling points for me as of yet seem to be you can catch an Elekid or a Magpie, depending on which one you pick, and you can catch Eevee in both. And when it comes down to it, that just adds maybe 16 new Pokemon to my collection that I'm worth having. Yeah, it does.
Are you one of those I've got to catch them all, or are you one of those I'm going to build the most ultimate
team? Yeah, I've got to collect the statistically greatest team that isn't legendary, but practically is.
What about you, Ollie, when you played it in the past?
I've always tried to make the best team.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason for the game, really. But catching them all, I tried, just never, always lost interest.
Oh, yeah. It's near impossible now with 650 odd.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It does seem a tad lazy on Nintendo's part.
Why?
They are using the same region and the same characters. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of new Pokemon, they've added, two. There's two new Pokemon added.
Yeah.
And they're using the same characters in the same region, and it's a follow-on from a story that's already written.
Yeah.
So you think it's lazy? It's getting really mixed reviews. IGN, I think, gave it a 9.6, and GameSpot gave it a 6.5.
It's like Final Fantasy X-2, okay? You don't do sequels of Final Fantasy games, and you don't do sequels of Pokemon games.
So you don't think Final Fantasy XIII-2 and Lightning's Return should exist?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm with him there.
Absolutely not.
Okay. What would get you back into the Pokemon franchise, Ollie?
A DS. But apart from that, failing that, I'd have to see a whole new host of Pokemon.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
They're running out of ideas, man.
They are. But that's the only thing that would bring me back, really. And a revolutionary story.
Chairs and wardrobes.
That would make me go and buy a DS.
A revolutionary story.
Just something.
Revolutionary story?
Well, no, not
how deep can a Pokemon story go?
Not like a story about revolution, obviously, but I just mean, as Chris said, I never played him for the stories that much.
Yeah. If
they made it so that I was playing for the story,
They do write the story to mirror events happening.
Yeah,
the next Pokemon story might be about terrorism. I don't know.
Hmm?
Didn't they have that in?
Yeah, they had that already.
Yeah, they've already done. They've done environmental issues, and this recent one's basically about animal rights.
Yeah.
which Peter have adopted, haven't they?
Pokemon Black and Blue.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, you can fight people in it, apparently.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, I might check it out.
I think that's it for today. Aww. Anyone got anything they want to mention? Any last notes?
Dishonored is really good. That's, you know...
That's your last point.
Would you get that on the day of its release if you hadn't got its review copy? Would you have gone out tomorrow and gone and bought it?
Yeah, probably. I probably would have done, actually.
Okay. I'm definitely going to buy it.
Yeah, I'll buy it at some point.
Probably not day one, because it's better to wait until the prices drop a touch.
Yeah. Would you like to see DLC for it? Keep it going?
Well, seeing as I haven't finished it yet, I don't really know. Okay. But...
Well, in terms of story, it seems pretty comprehensive. I don't know why you
need
DLC.
I'm liking all the characters.
Yeah.
Okay. It's quite in-depth.
It might be quite hard to make DLC if it doesn't feel tacked on.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that might be the case.
Okay, so hopefully by next week. You might have a review for
us. Yes, I will.
Chris, anything to add?
No, I'm
okay.
Pretty good.
So that's us signing off. Thank you for listening, guys. Be sure to keep it locked down to www.x3news.co.uk. And speak to you later.
See you later.
In a bit.